Hi, this is Skip Bayless, and thank you for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I just posted a personal story on my Facebook page. If you want to know what I'm really all about, what makes me tick, what made me, you should read what I wrote about my upbringing. You should read about how I succeeded in spite of a mean-spirited drunk of a father and a mother who was too interested in herself to ever be much interested in me. You should read about my athletic achievements and my chokes. You'll find my story on my Facebook page. And now, let's get the show started.
Welcome to the weekend edition of the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. Today's podcast features all the best segments from this week's slate of Undisputed. With in-depth interviews and discussions, we have a lot to talk about heading into next week. Skip, Shannon, let's get to it.
So let's talk about that game. A lot of attention will be on the two quarterbacks. Dak Prescott had 28 total touchdowns this season for Dallas, but he was picked off twice and sacked five times in their early season loss to the Seahawks. On the other side, Russell Wilson had 35 touchdown passes this season, two of those in the win against Dallas. Shannon, who had the better season, Dak or Russ?
Are we on a
what are you checking for?
Are we on a new show? Because last night I watched The Masked Singer, so I think we got a new show. Oh. They're punking me or something.
Same show.
So, are you wearing a mask?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out, because you punking me, Skip, baby.
No, this is real.
No, this ain't no real question.
Well, then you better have some ammunition over there to defend
Skip Bayless, it's Russ and it's not even close.
Really?
The Seahawks are not even supposed to be here. Yeah. This was supposed to be a rebuild. Remember, they let Sherman go. They traded Bennett. Cliff Avril had to retire. Cam Chancellor had to retire. Earl Thomas got hurt, I think, third or fourth game of the season. Mm. And so when you look at it, there's nothing. I mean, absolutely nothing. There isn't anything that Dak Prescott does better than Russell Wilson. Mm. Now, you told me, and Jenny, I went home yesterday. Mm. I said, you know what? Should I believe Skip Bayless? I'm going to start. I was talking to myself, Jenny. I said, you know what? I'm going to start listening to Skip. I said, he told me that I should put stock in Pro Football Focus when they're grade people. Okay. He says, because they got guys, former NFL, you know, GMs, and all they do is sit around. Shannon, you don't have time to watch games like they do. Mm. I said, okay, Skip, I'm gonna put stock in it. Pro Football Focus says, by every metric, that Russell Wilson is better. Mm. He threw 13 more touchdowns, one fewer interception. He had a better QBR. I don't even use QBR. Mm. But better passer rating, yards per attempt. Seattle's offense, sixth in scoring. Cowboys offense, 22nd. Now, I will give Dak this. He did have a little over 400 more yards.
Okay.
But let me ask you a question, Jenny. Do you feel comfortable saying
it? Are you talking to Jenny or me? I don't know.
He's thinking out his thoughts.
Yeah, yeah. I need help? I'm looking at you.
Okay, help him out.
I'm looking at you.
Yep. You better be.
Yeah. You're my nemesis.
I am your nemesis. Yep.
I feel comfortable in saying that even though Dak threw 99 more passes for 400 more yards, I believe Russell Wilson, if you let Russell Wilson throw those same passes, I believe he can average 4 yards or attempt. I believe he could. Mm. So, Skip, when you look at it, and let me ask you a question. Who do you think have the better offensive talent? Zeke, Amari Cooper, and an offensive line. Mm. So, given all that, and given what Russ was able to do, and that, you can't even say record because both of them 10-6. It just so happens Seattle plays in a division. It just so happens that the NFC East is the weakest conference, is the weakest division in the NFC, given that 10-6 won it. Mm. Every other division had a 13-3. I think Chicago finished 11-5 or 12-4. So, with that being said, Russell Wilson, by every metric that you told me to Pro Football Focus, Russell Wilson's ahead. Another thing about Pro Football Focus, Skip, do you know this? I don't know if you know this or not, but they had Zeke graded the 30th running back in all of football. Mm.
Thank you for that.
I didn't 30th. That.
Yeah, okay.
I don't even know why I brought that up. That's none of my business. Skip, I'm sorry.
So Dak was actually handicapped by Zeke, is what you're talking about?
I'm just saying.
Thank you for that nugget. I appreciate that. That starts to make my case even stronger. Appreciate that very much. This is why Dak Prescott had a little better. I'm not going to go, he had a way better year, because he didn't have a way better. He just had a little better.
He didn't have a better.
Let me explain this to you.
Okay,
let's start with what you always start with me on. You always discount Dak Prescott. You say he's a product of Ezekiel Elliott, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yet, Russell Wilson benefited from the number one rushing attack in all of pro football. Am I right about that?
Yeah.
Seattle led the whole National Football League in rushing. And as a team, back to your point about Zeke, the Dallas Cowboys finished 10th in rushing as a team. So number one to number 10.
Mm-hmm.
So wouldn't that be a big advantage for Russell Wilson over Dak?
No.
You start with that premise right there.
Well,
so you're going to benefit greatly because everything you do when you throw the football has opened wide open because you can run it the way nobody can run it in the whole NFL.
Because,
am I right?
Because
I'm just using what you taught me.
Because
right?
Russell Wilson can run it 25 times better than what Dak Prescott can.
Oh, really?
Yeah!
Oh, that's an interesting stat, Jenny. So help me out with this. I'll just throw this out. I was going to save it for my denouement conclusion, but
okay.
I'll just throw this out.
Throw it out.
Dak Prescott rushed for 6 touchdowns. That means he scored 6 with his legs.
Mm-hmm.
Guess how many Russell scored with his legs? How about a big goose egg? 0 for Russell Wilson. So Dak had 6 touchdowns running the football. So let's add those on to his total of touchdown passes, right?
Do that.
Okay. So now, obviously, for the first 8 games this year, Dak was really up against it. And you agreed with this because not only did he not have a number one receiver to target, I'm not even sure he had a number two. And the great Shannon Sharp would always reinforce that same point. You always said, I don't know if they even have a number two out
there.
And furthermore, they clearly don't have any obvious tight end target.
Yes,
so
they
there's
do. They got Shannon Jarwin.
Okay, well, that's...
They got Shannon Jarwin.
That just happened in the very last regular season game, right? Didn't they just play the last regular season game? I'm talking about the first 8 games.
Ooh.
He had nobody to throw to, right?
Yeah.
And the whole year, guess what? Russell Wilson had 2 number ones to throw to.
Really?
He had Tyler Lockett and Doug Baldwin. You don't think those are number ones? I'll take them any day of the week.
Of course you would.
Because those are tough, get open. Tyler Lockett can get open on anybody. He had 10 touchdowns himself.
Nobody looks at, somebody has to be the number one receiver.
Mm.
But I don't think anybody looks at Doug Baldwin, looks at Tyler Lockett and says, they're number ones in the term, in the sense of
I don't
Julio,
know.
A.B.,
No,
or
but
Juju.
They're up there. They're really good.
But you should, so Dak should be disqualified because you said the first 8 games, he wasn't very good because he had no one throw to.
He had nobody.
Okay, so with that should disqualify him.
Mm. Disqualify, no, because now we get to the last 8 games and now we really qualify him. We, in fact, over-qualify him over Russell Wilson.
How?
Because once Amari joins and you have one target, you just have one number one receiver, all of a sudden, over the last 8 games, Dak Prescott throws for the 4th most yards in the whole National Football League. This is over the last 8 games of the year. And obviously, they go 7-1 over that stretch.
Mm-hmm.
And he had the 3rd highest completions of that stretch over those last 8 games. He had the 3rd highest completion percentage. Well, those 3 numbers alone should qualify him as a top 5 performer over the last 8 games of the year.
But unfortunately, the season is 16 games, not just 8.
I'm going to weight these far more heavily. I'm going to value those last
8
games. Because he finally actually had a target to throw to. And he took them on a run from 3-5 all the way to 10-6.
Do you remember what Seattle
That's
started?
That's sensational.
Do you remember what Seattle
that
started?
Was before then. They were 0-3?
But
that 3-5, that's deep in the season. You're dead in the water. That's after that Tennessee debacle.
How many times? There's only a handful of teams that come back. The Houston Texans did it this year. They were 0-3, come back, won the division. It doesn't happen very often, Skip Bayless.
Mm. So what am I supposed to do with these numbers? Dak Prescott averaged 243 yards passing a game.
Yes.
Russell Wilson averaged only 216 yards passing a game?
Yes.
That's not that good.
Right.
What do you always throw at me about Dak Prescott? That 200-yard line.
Yes.
He can't even throw for 200 yards, right?
He couldn't.
So help me out with this. 7 times this year, Russell Wilson threw for under 200 yards. Only 5 times Dak threw for under 200 yards. So wouldn't that advantage Dak?
No.
Yeah, it's advantage Dak.
What about the touchdown?
Huh?
What about the touchdown, boss?
It's my turn. I think I'm making my case right now.
Go ahead.
So Dak Prescott actually threw for 455 in one game against the arch rival, the defending
INTs?
Super Bowl champ.
How many INTs?
You know what? It's my turn, I think, and you're interrupting me again.
I'm sorry.
455 yards against the defending Super Bowl champ, Philadelphia Eagles. Then he also threw for 387. Is that better than 200? I think it is. So 455, 387.
You make it seem like he threw for 200 yards every game. Stop it.
Russell Wilson threw for 300 plus one time, and it was only 339. So Dak had two games much higher than Russell Wilson's best game. That's interesting.
Okay.
So let's just do the wins. So in Russell Wilson's 10 wins, mm-hmm. he had 20 touchdowns to three interceptions.
Yes.
In Dak's 10 wins, he had 17 touchdowns to only two interceptions.
Okay.
20 to 3 to 17 to 2. Well, I'd say that's pretty even,
No.
Then you throw the six rushing touchdowns on top of that to zero for your
guy. Did he have those six? You see what you did, Skip Bayless?
I didn't do anything.
Help me out.
Let's do average distance of touchdown pass. Dak's average touchdown pass covered 27 yards. Russell's covered only 18,
Skip.
27 to 18. Skip. So all those 35, they're coming from shorter distances because one-third of those 35 came from under 10 yards. He is dinking and dunking touchdown passes. I don't know. Okay. I mean, God bless you if you can do it, but...
Skip.
You can do it by land or by sea. Which do you do it?
And they chose to go by sea. You know,
right?
Skip, this is what you've done me. I mean, when I came on the show, I think September 6th, mm-hmm. Jenny, 2016 yeah. was our first mm-hmm. time. And Skip told me, he said, well, Shannon, I didn't play the game. And I didn't break film down like you did, but I'm an eye test guy.
Mm-hmm.
He said, my eyes, he said, you know, I've covered this game long enough and I'm an eye test guy. Mm-hmm. If you got decent eyesight,
mm-hmm.
there's not one person, not even a Cowboy fan, that will tell you Dak Prescott had a better...
How do you know that?
Because I know.
You don't know
because
that.
Because even...
No Cowboy fan, no respectable Cowboy fan follows you on Twitter.
They should.
I know that.
Because they want the truth.
Huh? They want the truth?
Because even the most irrational Cowboy fans, yeah. and that's 90% of them,
okay.
knows that Russell Wilson had a better season. Okay,
look,
Skip.
What is the question here? Who's the better quarterback? If we're just doing who's the better overall quarterback,
I'll give you
Russell Wilson.
No, who had
Because he actually won a Super Bowl. I give you that.
Okay, Skip.
Right?
Okay.
Can't deny that.
But we're talking about who had the better season this year. Dak did. Dak was the driving force of a team that turned it around. Once you gave him one receiver, he turned it around. And I tried to tell you yesterday, I didn't think Zeke's year this year was that great. I thought it would be much better than it was. Okay? He led the league because no single back gets to carry it as much
as he does. Was Dallas in rebuild?
I don't know. Felt like it to me.
No. I'm talking about what it felt like.
No.
That's the eczema you got. You need to rub some cream on that.
Mm.
You wouldn't feel that anymore. Were the Dallas Cowboys in a rebuild? No. Okay. They played 16 games, Skip Bayless. You good with math. They played 16 NFL. Hold on, let me finish.
Do you know how young the Dallas defense is?
Okay.
It's just like a bunch of babies. Like, they're all just growing up right before your very eyes.
Have you seen...
Is that rebuilding?
Have you seen the Seattle defense?
Yeah, I have a lot.
Young.
Bobby Wagner's really young.
Yeah.
A.J. Choi, he's what, first year in the... Is he a second year player? I forget.
Hold on.
Yeah.
You make it seem. Like, what about Irving? What about Crawford? Are they first-year guys?
Was
Byron Jones?
Who did the most damage to the Dallas Cowboys in Week 3? That Earl Thomas guy. How long has he been in the league?
How long has he been out this season?
Mm.
But anyway, Skip, they played 16 NFL mm-hmm. games. In 10 of those games, Dak Prescott mm-hmm. threw one or zero touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
In 10 of the 16 games.
Mm.
What am I supposed to do with that?
Well, they're scoring different ways.
Oh!
To Zeke, let him score. Or maybe Dak just runs the ball in. He did that a bunch of times. He did it six times. To your guys, none.
You told me if a quarterback could throw it, because when I told you, I said, well, Skip, this is why I give Aaron Rodgers the grade or a little better grade than I give Tom Brady because of his legs. Mm. You tell me he don't need no legs. Tom Brady uses his arm, so he doesn't need to be able to run the ball.
Okay. All right. So what's your point?
Russell Wilson doesn't need to use their legs.
So we have Tom Brady way up here, and then we have Aaron Rodgers here.
And then we have
Russell Wilson here, and then we have Dak Prescott
We got Russell Wilson here, and then we got Dak Prescott here.
No, we do not.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do.
Not
stop
this
it,
season,
Skip.
We
yeah,
didn't.
We do.
I'm
yes,
sorry.
We do. Skip, stop it.
This is haunting you because you cannot swallow the fact that you've been wrong about Dak Prescott. No, it just boils down to that.
I'm not wrong.
You basically called him a bust.
No, I did not call him a bust.
Yes,
and
you
Russell Wilson should have made the Pro Bowl. Mm. You and I both agree. That.
Yeah.
Should Dak Prescott have made the Pro Bowl? Yes or no?
No, he's just more valuable to his team. He had a better year than Russell had.
No, he did.
Yeah.
You know
he
what, Skip? Did. No, he didn't.
Yeah.
Let this one be
2019, I think you, after all these years, Skip, you hadn't had a drink. And in 2019, you started off with a drink.
No, I didn't.
Because you must be drunk. You talk about Dak Prescott had a better year than Russ.
He just did. I just outlined it
for you. No, you didn't.
And you just can't take it.
Pro Football Focus didn't say that. And now you told me to put all my stock in Pro Football Focus yesterday. Mm. That's why I listened to you, Skip.
Mm-hmm.
I listen
all
to you. Every time you say something, I say, hey, Skip said this. When people ask, I say, well, Skip said
yesterday you called it pro football foolishness.
But I went home. I had to change. I told you I was talking on my way home. I was talking to myself. Yeah. I said, Shannon, yes. You should listen to Skip.
I know.
Yeah, that's what I did.
Yep.
Driving home. I'm driving home. Shannon, huh? You should listen to Skip. You know what? You're right. That's what I said to myself.
That inner
you're going to see the light on Saturday night.
Oh.
Yeah, that's that train.
That's going to be my motto this year.
That's that Seattle
see
train
the light,
over you.
See the light on Saturday night. I like that.
I'm worried about it for both of you.
You know, sometimes, even if you're on the right track, you can get run over if you're headed the wrong direction.
Mm.
That's Russell.
That was impressive.
You can't be on the right track if you're headed in the wrong
direction. Yes, you can.
You're on the wrong track.
Yeah, no.
I think you're on the wrong
track.
So much to look forward to in that playoff game.
No mercy.
In the other NFC wildcard game, the Eagles are a 5.5-point underdog on the road against the Bears on Sunday. Nick Foles will start despite bruising his ribs in Sunday's win. Foles has led the Eagles to 3 straight wins, and he has proven himself in the playoffs. The reigning Super Bowl MVP has thrown 8 touchdowns with only 1 pick in his 4 playoff games. Shannon, how dangerous are the Eagles going into the playoffs?
They're a dangerous team, but I don't believe they'll beat the Bears. The Bears are loaded defensively. Number 1 scoring D, number 1 rush D, number 1 in takeaways, 3rd in sacks, 7th in pass D. And the one thing that Philly can't really do, Skip, is run the football, especially consistently. And once the Bears and Vic Fangio, the defense coordinator, all teams try to make you one-dimensional. Everybody wants to shut your run off and then pin their ears back and come get your quarterback. So I believe that's what the Bears will do. Now, Foles has been unbelievable in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what he brings them, Skip, is a confidence that everything's going to be okay.
Yep.
Especially after what he did in the NFC Championship, especially what he did in the Super Bowl. And then to follow it up, and basically they have to win out in order to get into the playoffs. And he does that. He's done it. So they have a confidence in him that everything's going to be okay. But I just don't know if – I don't think they'll be able to run the football. And when you can't run the football against a team that has number ones in scoring D and rush and in takeaways, that lets Khalil Mack, that let Hicks, that let Floyd, that let some of those guys pin their ears back and come get your quarterback. Mm. And plus, he's banged up. Mm. So we don't know how healthy he's going to be. Probably put some medicine in that rib cage area,
Skip,
and have him go out there. But I don't think – can they be dangerous? Yes, they can be. But I don't expect them to win this game.
Mm. So, right now, the Philadelphia Eagles have become the one team I would not want to play in the postseason because they have turned back into a Super Bowl type of a force. And that's all because of the presence of Nick Foles. I would not want to be Philadelphia management if Nick Foles goes on yet another playoff run.
Well, that's a different, that's another thing.
Puts them into a really between the rock and the hard place position of, what do? We let him go? What do we do?
Rock in a harder place.
In a harder place, that is for sure. And just for the record, I believe that Nick Foles and company are going to upset the Bears in Chicago. And just for the record, I was half kidding with one of our security guards down in the lobby on Friday, who's a big Philadelphia fan from Philadelphia, and I was just sort of surmising and putting 2 + 2 together, and I thought, gee, wouldn't it be something if the Eagles upset the Bears, and then if the Eagles went to New Orleans and upset the Saints and that hardest place to play in the world, and wouldn't it be something if the Cowboys beat Seattle and then went to the Rams and upset the Rams, and guess what?
Oh, Lord.
Guess what that would mean, Mr. Sharp? That would mean the NFC Championship game would be Philadelphia at Jerry World, and I got to tell you, I would not love my team's chances in that scenario because of Nick Foles.
So, in other words, you want all your prayers answered in the first month of the 2019 year, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's a prayer.
Okay, I'll take the prayer of Dallas in the championship
game.
But I'm telling you, if it's Nick Foles at quarterback – My team already beat your quarterback twice, Carson Wentz. Beat him twice. Beat him in Philly to start the 7-out-of-8 run and beat him in midstream in Dallas. And it was a shootout, but my quarterback, I don't know how he did this. He threw for 243 yards in the fourth quarter in overtime, 17 of 20. I don't know how he does that. He can't throw. He's not accurate.
Man,
but I don't know. I don't know how he did it, but he did it. And I would fear my team against Nick Foles because I fear Nick Foles in that offense. It just looks different to me with him operating it. He operates with poise under fire. I do not consistently see from Carson Wentz. Obviously, Carson Wentz is extremely talented. He's big and strapping, and he can run a little bit, though he couldn't run quite as well this year coming off his big knee reconstruction. But Nick Foles moves around pretty well at 6'6". I think he's 6'6".
Yeah,
I believe he is because he's a former basketball player.
Here's the thing, though, Skip, but also what they're going to have to look at is that Carson Wentz has been hurt an awful lot.
Yep.
He was hurt in college. Remember, he missed like 3 or 4 games his senior year in college.
Yeah.
So we're starting to see a reoccurring theme where he can't finish the season on the field.
Uh-huh.
But that's we'll debate that another day.
Mm-hmm.
Chicago can run the ball better than people think. I think they're 11th in running.
I got that.
Howard and Tariq Cohen. But here's the thing. The unknown is that Trubisky, his legs are better than you think.
No, they're great. He led the quarterbacks in the NFL in rushing.
Yeah.
I think Lamar passed him at the end.
Did he? Maybe he did.
But you remember, Skip, how he was doing the Patriots.
Yeah.
He looked like Michael Vick against the Patriots, running all over the field. And he almost brought them back against the Patriots. And they were on the 1-yard line from getting the game into overtime with a PAT. So but I just don't know in a situation where if you can't run the football, how you go with a team that can come get you like the Bears can. And they started – the Bears, they're thinking like, okay, this is 85, 86 all over again where we can come pin our ears back. And, you know, and when they got to the Super Bowl, I think it was 06, they had a tight defense with Urlacher and Briggs and Peanut Tillman that could take the ball away.
Mm-hmm.
They could come get you with a Goonlier and putting pressure on the quarterback, Tommy Harris. So we're going to see, Skip Bay. I don't believe the Eagles can win, but – this could be a very dangerous team because they believe. And there's something to be said with a belief that
in Nick Foles.
Yes.
They do.
Yes.
So over the 3 games that he's picked them up and started, he averages 321 yards passing. He led the NFL in completion percentage because at Washington he completed 25 straight passes. That is hard to do. That did it tie the NFL?
It tied the NFL record. And then he had a flat ride to Aguilar and it was a little behind him and he dropped it.
Okay. So, do I have to remind everyone that in the NFC Championship game against the number one ranked defense, Minnesota's back, that was in Philadelphia last year, he goes 26 of 33 for 352 and 3 touchdowns and no interceptions. And then against Tom Brady in the Super Bowl, 28 of 43 for 373, 3 touchdowns, and did have 1 interception, but had a QBR of 89, which was better than Brady. So he outplayed Tom Brady in the Super Bowl.
He was better.
Those are two.
Ain't no outplayed, he was better.
I keep telling you, I can't remember in my time of covering the National Football League 2 better games, back-to-back championship games, Super Bowl, than Nick Foles played at quarterback. Well, you have to, there has to be some value. It can't be an aberration because 1 year under Chip Kelly, he went 27 touchdowns to only 2 interceptions. There's something there that is really good. It's very different than Carson Wentz, but it's really good. And I don't think it was any silly, you know, any blip in the radar that they built a little shrine in Chris Long's locker to Nick Foles. And
Chris built that.
Yeah, but it sounded like everybody co-signed on it, right?
Yeah.
Fletcher Cox was co-signed. I think he contributed to
all them candles.
Yeah.
Shrine.
Okay. It was a shrine because they know that in Nick they trust. Yeah. They just do. He's their Saint Nick. So, I would fear this team if I were the Bears because it's hot right now. And what is Nick Foles doing that Carson Wentz didn't consistently do? Spreading the ball and finding the
– the thing is with Nick Foles, Foles throwing the ball over the top of your head.
Mm-hmm.
He's throwing the ball to Alshon, getting big plays. He's throwing the ball to Aguilar, getting big plays.
So in these 3 games, Alshon's caught 16 for 301 yards, and Zach Ertz has caught 18 for 147 yards. But they're 50-50 on catches.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, the bombs away are going to the stud receiver, the wideout. Okay, that's dangerous. That's a formula for upsetting Chicago at Chicago.
Well, the thing is that the Bears don't normally give up big plays. The question is Eddie Jackson, because right now This year, he played a lot like Ed Reed.
Yep.
See, it's not good enough for him to get his hands on the ball. He's trying to turn getting his hands on the ball into points. He's trying to put the ball into the end zone. He's getting scooping scores. He's getting pick six. So he's a ball hawk.
Yep.
Now, when they shut the run off and you have Foles back there, so now that gives Khalil Mack. Khalil Mack's a man skill. I mean, he's putting 330-pound mans on their behind with one hand. So, and now you got him and Akeem Hicks up the middle, who had an unbelievable year. And you got Floyd. So it's going to be very, very interesting.
That Eagles offensive line, it hasn't played up to its potential, but it is loaded with stars, right?
Yeah.
So if Nick Foles is like 85% healthy, I don't know what he's going to be.
Right.
But he's going to have to be able to take some shots.
Yeah,
he's going to
have
to withstand some punishment.
You don't build a shrine for someone you don't respect.
Nope.
They're trying to become the first team to repeat as champs since the 03-04 Patriots.
Mm.
That would be impressive.
It's not an easy thing.
No,
not
you would know.
Thing to do.
No mercy.
Drew Brees and Patrick Mahomes have been leading the charge for NFL MVP most of the season, but Brees was ranked as the top QB in the league this season by Pro Football Focus. He had 32 touchdowns, just 5 interceptions this year, while Mahomes led the league with 50 TD passes for the Chiefs. Shannon, does this make a case that Brees should be the MVP?
No, it should not even be close. This guy should probably win it almost as close to unanimous as we possibly can get. He's only the second guy in the history of the NFL to throw for 5,000 yards and 50 touchdowns in the same season.
Mm.
Now, he's one of three guys to throw 50 touchdowns in a single season. Obviously, Peyton Manning, 55, Tom Brady with 50, and now Patrick Mahomes. But in Brady, when he threw his 50, he had, a little over 4,800 yards. Now, Skip tells me December, when teams supposed to play their best ball, and the cream's supposed to rise to the top. Now, in December, this is what Brees' numbers are. 3 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. He scored 10 points in Dallas at a loss. He scored 12 points against the Panthers. And Pat Mahomes' last 4 games in December, 9 touchdowns, 2 interceptions.
Hmm.
And the fewest amount of points he scored in the game this year is 26.
And who had the better record?
Whoa, hold on. So one game. So we're going to take one game. One game. So let me ask you.
One game what?
He had, okay, one team is 13 and what? What's their record? 13-3? Another team is 12-4. Okay, who's the number one seed in the AFC?
They are.
Okay.
By default.
Oh, that was
thanks building. To Bill Belichick. They should send him a bouquet.
Kansas City averages 4 more points a game, almost 60 yards per game more on average. And Pat Mahomes averages almost 50 more yards passing than Drew Brees. So for me, it's really, I mean, come on, Skip. We're talking about 50 touchdowns. He's 18 clear. He's 1,100 more passing yards clear. Skip, this is not even close. I mean, stop it. Look, this is not a lifetime achievement award. I don't want to hear, well, you know, Drew Brees has never won. He'll never get another chance. That's not my fault. Patrick Mahomes has had the better year. There's nothing you can do. We've seen guys skip. We saw Aaron Rodgers. Drew Brees is what, 32-5, you say? We saw Aaron Rodgers go 45-6. There's nothing that, I mean, what are we talking about here? Okay, yeah, he has the highest. He has a high passer rating. It's not the highest ever. That still belongs to Aaron Rodgers. Okay, he broke his completion percentage. But when you look at this thing, Skip, it shouldn't even be close. 5,000 yards passing in a season, 50 touchdowns, the number one seed in the AFC. And with all what he's been able to do, this should I don't even know why we're even having this discussion. Offense averages 37 points a game. And in the games they lost, he put up 40. I mean, his defense gave up 40. Skip, this is not even close.
Not even close. That's what you kept saying about the Heisman race and then last
Oh, you saw what happened.
Yeah.
You saw what happened. You saw what happened.
I did. Kyler Murray won the Heisman.
He won the Heisman, but took that butt cut when he got to Bama.
First player ever to go for 300 yards passing and 100-plus rushing against Nick Saban.
And
I'd say that's a butt cut,
he
man.
He did Cam Newton didn't do that, but Cam won. Johnny Manziel didn't do that, but Johnny Manziel won. Chad Kelly didn't do that, but Chad Kelly beat him twice. Your guy did all those accolades. But guess what he doing, Skip? Got that garbage bag cleaned out of his locker on Monday. That's what he got.
So I guess Shannon Sharp is going to rename this website PFF, Pro Football Foolishness.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Is that what we're going to do? Yeah, because once again, I'm going to remind you, This is a committee of people, some with NFL ties, who do this for a living.
Hell, I got NFL ties.
You do, but you don't have time to break down every play of every
game. Put 2 cases to do on it. We're going to start 2019 outright. 2 cases, Mahomes win the MVP.
I'm not going to do that because he probably will.
What you mean probably will?
It's about splash plays. It's about social media highlights.
No, don't do that.
It's about best new bandwagon to jump on. And Shannon Sharp jumped on it at midseason, and he's driving it.
Early.
And he's looking over his shoulder saying, Drew Brees, let me be.
Nope.
Leave me alone.
Come on, Skip. 2 cases. We got to start 2019 upright. 2 cases.
It's my turn to go here.
Your turn.
And Pro
no
Football Focus says we broke down every play, and we thought Drew Brees had a little better quarterback performance overall than Patrick Mahomes. And Drew Brees, just for the record and for what it's worth, not very much, he broke his own completion percentage record that he set a year ago of 72% with the 74% of his passes he completed.
How many passes did Kamara catch?
Do those count? I think they count.
Yeah.
Okay, and there's another second-level stat on deep accuracy, on deep passes from the pocket. 53% were completed by Drew Brees. Mahomes was third on that list, and then we go all the way down.
Outside the pocket.
Yeah. How about under pressure, completion percentage under pressure? That can be inside or outside the pocket. Drew Brees was second in the NFL this year, and Patrick Mahomes was 21st there. And I will give you QBR, which is the more complete evaluation of a quarterback's performance.
I don't use that.
Yeah. Well, Patrick Mahomes edged out Drew Brees 82.0 to 81.9. So he edged him out by one-tenth of a point. One-tenth. And why did that happen? Because Drew Brees was able to not play his last game while Patrick Mahomes had to play his last game to secure the number one seed. And he got to play the Oakland Raiders at Kansas City. And he had a QBR of 84 that day, which edged him a tick ahead.
He was already ahead. But
you make it seem, led that all
you make it,
year long.
You make it seem like the Carolina Panthers were the monsters of the Midway or the 2000 Ravens.
Mm. I just told you, Drew Brees didn't play his last game.
But last time, guess what? Guess what happened, Skip? Last time he played the Carolina Panthers. Field goals. That's what he got.
Okay. So let's look at degree of difficulty. Drew Brees had to complete 125 passes to his only real target at wide receiver, Michael Thomas.
Yeah.
125 passes. Mm-hmm. His next wide receiver in catches was Tre'Quan Smith with 28. So 97 more passes went to his solo wide receiver that he could throw to Michael Thomas. And then way down the list is Ben Watson, his tight end. You know tight end position pretty well. He caught 35 balls. How many did you catch in your best years? You were catching like 150?
No, I was catching best 81, 87.
Okay, 81. So 87, says Shannon Sharp. So 87. Ben Watson caught 35.
But Skip, I was...
Wait a second. Travis
Ben
Kelce.
Watson in year 15.
Yeah, Travis Kelce this year caught 103 passes. That's way beyond your best year.
Way.
103, and Ben Watson caught only 35. And then, wait a second. Tyreek Hill caught 87 balls. And then we go to Sammy Watkins. He caught 40 balls. So you want to talk about weapons?
Okay.
Did Patrick Mahomes have better weapons than Drew Brees? You better believe he did.
What about that running attack?
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Oh, pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't Seattle's running attack.
No, but
it was pretty good.
So you because you do realize what you call lost his best runner. At the time, Kareem Hunt was the third leading rusher in the NFL.
Yep.
He lost him. Gone.
Yep. And then big stage games, Monday night, Thursday night, Sunday night, twice. Patrick Mahomes lost those games. So, I don't know what happened.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah. I don't know what happened.
Was Dallas a big stage game?
Yeah. It was.
It's not
a buzzsaw.
It's not Patrick Mahomes' fault that he's so good everybody want to watch him play. Drew Brees should have if Drew Brees had won more games the year before, they'd have had more televised games this year.
Yep. My MVP goes to Drew Brees, and he does deserve it. I'm not going to do it. No.
Why?
Because I think he's going to win.
Okay.
I think Patrick Mahomes is going to win. Because he got to play the last game. That's why.
No, Skip.
And it's not right because the better overall year with the higher degree of difficulty, Drew Brees.
Skip.
Drew Brees.
He had a team in his own division win 12 games. If you don't mind me asking, what was the best record in the NFC South other than New Orleans? How many games did Atlanta win?
Were they a consensus favorite to win the South?
How many games did Tampa win? Remember, until they won their last game, they had lost every game. They started the season 6-2.
Nobody saw that coming, though.
Carolina started the season 6-2.
Yeah, boy, they were hot.
And finished the season 7-9.
Yep.
Okay, what about Atlanta?
Drew Brees just ran away with that division. That was impressive.
Yeah, you know? Think about it.
Number and one man, seed.
When the last time you saw a man throw 50 touchdowns with 5,000 yards and not run away with the division? Dan Marino, when he threw 48 touchdowns, which was the record at the time, he went 15. He went what? 14-2. Tom Brady. What did he go?
Boy, you give Tom Brady. 16-0. Whoa, wait a second. You give Tom Brady or Drew Brees these weapons? Kelsey and Tyreek and Sammy Watkins?
He had Randy Moss.
He
had Wes Welker.
One time.
And he went 16-0. Mm-hmm. He threw 50 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. Peyton Manning went what? 14-2? Mm-hmm. 55 and 5,400.
Yeah, with weapons.
Okay, then.
Yeah.
So don't make it seem like Tom Brady never had weapons, skill base.
Well, he did in 2007. Oh. That was one shot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And where did that get him? Nowhere.
What would you think? He got it to the Super Bowl.
Huh?
Got it to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Well, he only scored 14 points. 14 points.
But with 2 minutes left, he scored the 14th point, and it should have stood up.
Hold on.
It should have stood up.
Hold on. How you go from scoring 37 a game, and then you get to the Super Bowl, the biggest stage? Coach Belichick defense only gave up, what did they give up, Skip, 17?
Yeah.
They gave up 17 points.
What happened to that defense? Tom Brady handed that defense a 14-10 lead with 2 minutes left. With 2 minutes left.
With Tom Brady.
Is that, that's a 4-point lead.
Hold on.
You're not even within field goal striking distance.
You mean to tell me I got the GOAT?
Yeah.
I'm talking about, you, hold on.
The GOAT, but you had 14.
You call it big case GOAT. You didn't say lowercase, you say big case. Capital G.
Yes.
And I got, and I can't give a 14, I can't give a 14 points out of you?
Yeah, and why wouldn't Bill Belichick be able to stop Eli Manning?
17
Eli
points,
Manning?
Skip. You ought to be ashamed of
yourself. They're a wild card team.
Skip, let me ask you a question.
They're on a wild card run.
Hold on.
What?
I've been a wild card twice. They ain't got nothing to do
with it. What'd that do? Where'd they go that year? 9-7?
Hold on.
How can you let a 9-7 offense do that to you at the end of the game?
17 points.
Cost you a Super Bowl.
Coach,
Belichick cost him another Super Bowl.
Coach, if somebody said, you know what?
That's another one.
They're going to hold the Giants to 17 points. You say, boy, they're going to run away with them. They're going to beat them like 35 to 17.
Yeah, but who drove the ball 80 yards in like 10 plays?
I want to know why.
Go ahead, 14
I want to know why were the Giants even in the game?
Huh?
Why were the Giants even in the game?
They're good. They're low.
Whoa! So Eli the GOAT.
Defense.
So if you beat the GOAT twice.
Yeah, with the luckiest pass.
No, skip how you do that. See, we were having a good conversation. We starting out 2019 right. You were courteous. I was receptive to courtesy. And then you had to ruin it.
I think a lot of people believe Drew Brees should be the MVP, but I agree with you. The kid will win it.
Now, see, Skip, you see how you bet? Oh, you don't want to. Give me a chance to get my due back.
I'm not going to just give it to you.
You're not giving it to me.
It's tough over here.
Hold on. You didn't say anything when you took my due. When I picked Tua and I lost.
Well, that was your fault.
Oh.
Not my fault.
See, I see how you
But you were the front runner the whole year. I was the one who kept beating this desk saying, wait a second.
I've been on my homeboy.
Huh. You have.
And who, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Now, we got an opportunity to see these guys go head to head. Who performed better?
Tom Brady or Patrick
Mahomes? No. I'll talk about your guy. Against my guy.
Oh. Tua. Tagovailoa.
Oh.
Against the worst defense in the history of college football? You're taking credit for that?
Whoa.
Seriously?
I'm just trying to figure
out. No, seriously. Okay, it was 28-0 in the second quarter.
How did they get that? You got the best quarterback in the history of the game in college football.
You got a
how did they get
to 28-0? Top five defense. And then what happened?
What?
After about two more quarters, Quinn and Williams is waving to the sideline. Take me out. Skip. I can't chase him anymore.
You get a big lead like
Take
that.
Me out.
Empty yards. That meant nothing.
Really? 300 yards passing.
So when the game was 7-0, or the game
was
14-0.
Onside kick?
You never got within two scores. Think about that, Skip, and let that sink in.
How do you carry the worst defense in the history of college football to that? That's a Heisman Trophy.
You know what happens? Is that when you get to 7-0 and you're down 7-0 and you go 3-and-out.
Yep.
And when it's 14-0, you go 3-and-out.
Yep.
And then the next thing you know, it's 21-0. No mercy.
Well, the Steelers are in the news right now for all the wrong reasons. Mike Tomlin shed some light on the drama surrounding Antonio Brown, saying he told Brown to go home and rest his leg on Friday, but added that Antonio didn't communicate with the team after that, leading up to him being deactivated for Sunday's game. Tomlin went further on the situation yesterday. Take a listen.
Obviously, we take his lack of communication, his lack of presence, particularly on Saturday prior to the game, to be something that's very significant. It will be handled appropriately so. I'm not going to speculate on trades and things of that nature. We haven't formally received a request in that regard. So I'm not going to speculate. I'm not going to speculate in terms of where the discipline might go and things of that nature. Just know that it's going to be addressed, and it will be addressed and needs to be addressed for obvious reasons. And when we're talking about our darkest hour, okay, we're talking about playing to win a game and needing other dominoes to fall for us to be in the tournament, and a guy not communicating, that is a real element of discussion.
Does it reach a point where it becomes more problematic than it's useful?
Certainly.
All right, Fox NFL analyst Greg Jennings joining us this morning. When you look at this situation, how do you think it will play out between Antonio and the Steelers?
I don't know how it turns out. I don't think any of us can say how it turns. Well, we can say how it turns out, but we have to see it play out. But how it should turn out, he has to go. Simply put, he has to go. When I'll start with even listening to Mike Tomlin in that press conference. What was Antonio Brown doing? Was he respectfully just listening, or was he trying to one-up him and mock him and make him almost look like, look, I don't want to hear that. I'm not listening to you. He's already shown a disrespect towards not only the organization and his teammates, but to Mike Tomlin. I don't even respect you right now. Whatever you have to say, I'm not even listening. And neither should anyone else who's following me on Instagram or Twitter or all these social platforms. Mm-hmm. No, listen to me. Don't even listen to Mike Tomlin. I got this under control. That is a slap in the face where you just don't come back from that. Antonio Brown is who he is right now. And as much production that he has produced for the Pittsburgh Steelers, Ben Roethlisberger in that offense, mm-hmm. we all know what it looks like and what it's been. It's been great. But is it worth the culture? Is it worth what we're trying to do? Is it worth the wins that we lack because of this? Mm-hmm. Because of this. Like, I don't care how productive you are. If your goal isn't in alignment with mine, we can't win. The reason why the New England Patriots win is because they lay all differences aside when they get on that football field. Once they're in that uniform and that helmet is put on, everything that we disagree on is out the window right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And if you do happen to continue to disagree, you're out the window.
Yes, right? Exactly. Yeah. And what Mike Tomlin said at the end of that, when the reporter asked him at some point, does this outweigh the production? Mm-hmm. Does it become too much with all the antics and whatever? And his answer is certainly. I hope he sticks to that certainly. Yes. And it's not just Mike Tomlin that has to do that. That's the Roonies that have to make that decision. But you can't allow Antonio Brown to come back with this attitude, because it's not going to change. I don't care how many times you sit down mm-hmm. with Ben, Tomlin, bring us all in a room, let's have a come to Jesus moment, as everybody mm-hmm. wants to allude to. He is who he is. It's not changing.
Mm. I'm a firm believer. In order for your team to enjoy success, your best players need to be the hardest workers and the best leaders.
True.
And the two best players for the Pittsburgh Steelers are their worst leaders, Ben Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown. That's it. You see, the thing is that when he went Facebook Live and Mike Tomlin is laying out what they're going to do for the upcoming week and get ready for, this joker is in the background. So at that moment, this is not about you, team. This is about Facebook mm-hmm. and my followers mm-hmm. and them getting an insight. Bro, that's sacred.
Mm-hmm. And remember, he caught Tomlin live, right, taking a shot at the Patriots. Those A's,
yes,
right?
You know, get a head start.
They got a head start. And it went out live to
yes.
everybody.
Live.
Wow.
And he didn't care because it's never been about the team. It's always been. When I speak to college guys and I speak to NFL guys that's just getting into the league, the one thing I tell them, I says, I want you to be selfish. I want you to win the Heisman. I want you to be all pro. I want you to try to make the Pro Bowl and win MVP. But those goals can never supersede that of the team. Because if the team goal is first, I know you will work extremely hard to accomplish what you need to. And if you accomplish those goals, we're going to meet those team goals. Mm-hmm. Antonio's team is Team Antonio. Antonio care about one thing, his numbers. Antonio will tell you he just wants to win. He does want to win. Mm-hmm. But I need 12 catches for a buck 50 and two touchdowns in that win.
Yep.
Because if I get 6 for 50 and a touchdown, that ain't good enough. Mm-hmm. Because I saw Juju get 10 for 105 and a touchdown. Mm-hmm. I can't have that. Mm. They got to move on. Because right now, Skip, production intolerance. You're going to tolerate this because his production level is high. It was the same thing with T.O., Skip. And I love T.O. His production was high. He was getting 1,500 yards receiving. He's getting 13, 14 touchdowns. But the moment that production slips, he gone.
Yep.
But what he's doing is that he's poisoning the locker room because you got young receivers. Juju's only in his second year. James Washington's in his first year.
Yep.
Eli Rogers is young.
Yep.
That's the defining voice in their meeting room. That's who they're looking at. They're like, well, hold on. This dude bucking. And he got $72 million. So what's to stop me from bucking? Mm. Juju putting up numbers. Juju said, like, hold on. I beat Antonio. I have more yards, more catches than Antonio. He acted like this and got paid. Mm. What's to stop me from acting like that and getting paid? I'm producing.
Because they keep looking at the head coach. How's he going to react to this?
Yeah!
He doesn't react. He doesn't react. He doesn't react. He goes unpunished, unpunished, unpunished until now.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You can't have – it's like, Skip, you and I both are dog lovers. Mm-hmm. In that when you get a puppy, you try to set the groundwork and the parameters of how it's going to act. You don't let it go in the house.
No.
You can't get a puppy and let it go in the house till he's 5 years old and then all of a sudden say, you know what, I want you to go outside. He's looking at you like, what? I've been going to the house for 5 years. No, I think I'll stay right here. You've been letting Antonio Brown do this. So you know what you do? You pass that problem on to somebody else. Hey, y'all take it. Because I can't deal. I don't want to deal with it anymore because it's preventing us from reaching our ultimate. This is why the Pittsburgh Steelers are at home, Skip. Mm-hmm. They're too talented. There's no reason. You're fourth in offense, you're eighth in defense, and you're out of the playoffs because of this, because of Antonio Brown, because of Ben. Because of what Mike Tomlin and the Steelers organization has accepted.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this story is wearing me out. It's tiring me out because this man across from me said from day one, do not pay him. Bad idea.
Let him go.
Right?
Yep.
I echoed your sentiments. I said, do not pay him. I said, do not pay Odell Beckham Jr. or you will regret it. And the Giants, I believe, are already regretting it. They're both more trouble than they're worth because, as you continue to point out, they play, you know this position very well. You know it pretty well. It's a dependent position. You can do only so much because you don't get to dribble the ball up the floor and decide whether to shoot it or not. You have to wait until it gets thrown to you. And if the other team says, Greg Jennings cannot have the ball today, it's going to be hard to get Greg the ball today, right?
Mm-hmm.
That will benefit everybody else, but it doesn't benefit Greg Jennings.
Right.
So, obviously, Antonio Brown has become way more trouble than he is worth. And all of his social media following does not contribute on Sunday. It doesn't help you win football games. In fact, it's really destructive to your trying to win a football game because you won championships on two different teams that were pretty united, as far as I knew.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
And you won on a team. It started to fracture later. But that year, I think you were pretty together, right?
Of course.
You have to be. No one's ever won a championship. Those Cowboy teams in the early 90s, off the field, they were my last book was titled Hellbent. They were hellbent off the field. Trust me, in the locker room, when it was time to work, time to practice, they were like this, man. They loved each other. They fought for each other, and they were super talented, and they performed up to that level. Well, this team is super talented, and it's consistently not performed up to the level when it's time. These were indictment games. What they did to New England at Pittsburgh, they showed you, oh, you can do that,
right. Really?
Oh, you're really good. They showed you at New Orleans. They can hang right in there, and they had a chance to win at New Orleans.
Right.
And they missed the playoffs. Why did they miss the playoffs? Well, it all starts, they all get blamed, but to your point, they're all finger pointers.
Oh, it's Le'Veon. The Le'Veon distraction was hanging over our head.
Okay, so you have to cut bait and cut your losses. And again, we were ahead of this, so we're not being 20-20 hypocrites or 20-20 hindsight.
No.
We're saying, we said this from the start. We told you so, but now you've made your bed, and you have to get out of your bed
right. Because
it's not going to work next year. You have to give him away, and you're going to have to give him away.
Oh, yeah, you're not going to get
because
equal value.
The money is so high that somebody's going to have to take on, and the baggage is so much that – trust me, you can try to auction him off and you might get a, I don't know, you might get a third rounder.
But let me ask you a question. If that second or third round pick gonna give you the production, no matter what the position is that you get with that second or third round pick, if it's gonna give you the production of Antonio Brown, but Skip, here's the thing. Maybe I could see, you know what, if I'd won me a 2 or 3 championship, but let me ask you this, Skip. Do you think Golden State would put up Draymond's antics if they hadn't won 3 championships?
Not a chance. Not a chance.
All the kicking and the technical fouls? Like Rod, Detroit put up with Rodman antics.
They did.
They're winning championship. But the moment they stopped
Trust me, the Bulls put up with Rodman antics. They did.
And when Jordan left, they said, man, we ain't going to be able to control this guy. You got to go.
Got to go.
And this is what Antonio. Hold on. You mean to tell me I'm paying you $16, $17 million a year to miss the playoffs? Well, I can get me somebody and not pay them that much and miss the playoffs. I miss the playoffs with you. I can miss the playoffs without you. This makes no sense to me because Antonio Brown is dug in on who he wants to be and how he wants to play. And that's not going to change.
Yeah, and to Greg's point, and I mentioned this earlier in the show, at the flashpoint moment yesterday when he had a chance to show a little contrition, a little penitence, just a little bit of let's live and let live, you know, like a little bit, he's mocking the head coach during his live news conference on TV.
And then, boy, I don't know if he posted it on Twitter or Facebook talking about his free will.
Yes.
Dum-dum. Free will. Dude, they paying you $18 million, $16, $17 million a year, and you don't show up to work.
I think that quote sounded like a Drew Rosenhaus special to me.
And you touched on this, Skip. When you really have a respect and a relationship outside of just the game with your teammates, with your coworkers, You will go above and beyond. It doesn't matter to you who shines because if you do well, if you look good, I look good.
Sure.
If you draw attention, that means I have more opportunity. If I draw attention, that means you have more opportunity. But because this team doesn't have the camaraderie off the field, they're not as tight-knit. Winning is not the supreme goal when it comes to the Pittsburgh Steelers. They talk about it, but they're not about it. Why do I say that? Because they want their own numbers.
I need my numbers.
Look at their offensive line calling out Le'Veon Bell. It's really us. What do you mean?
Where you ever heard offensive line say that?
Who does that?
Never.
You can't win when you're divided.
Every line never said anything.
No.
If the dude got 18,000, not one to A. They raised their hand, Larry said, hey, that was me. Nate New said, no, that was me. Chef said, no, that was me. Big Evie said, no, I got that, cuz. Eric Dickerson lying. And you got lying talking about that's us.
The list goes on. And can you imagine Tomlin getting off that podium and going, how did that go? And then someone has to tell him what AB was doing. I mean, just that relationship, I don't see it coming forward. I mean, there's really no way back from that. All right, Greg, good to have you on that topic.
No mercy.
Well, LeBron recently said that he felt like he was the GOAT after his Cavs came back from a 3-1 deficit to beat the Warriors back in 2016. Yesterday, LeBron's show More Than an Athlete released a clip of what he told his teammates in the locker room after Game 6, which tied up the series. LeBron said about Golden State, quote, they effed up mentally and physically. I'm telling you, they effed up. We're joined once again by Chris Broussard. Chris, what do you make of this?
We couldn't show the footage, huh?
Because
of language.
They effed up. So
LeBron was absolutely right.
He was absolutely right.
I agree.
When a team is up 3-1 and then the other team wins the next two to force a game 7, and one of those games was on your home floor where you had been all but invincible all year. You are going to be messed up mentally. When you're up 3-1 in almost every case, you're the better team. You should win the series. You won 3 of the first 4 games and then you lose 2 straight. So mentally, that's going to mess with you. And when you look at that game 7, Steph Curry 6 for 19, 4 for 14 from 3. Klay Thompson 6 for 17, 2 for 10 from 3. These are two of the greatest shooters ever. Best shooting backcourt, I think best backcourt period of all time.
Yep.
And they didn't play well. Now, I'll give some of that credit to the Cavs defense. They played really good defense. But that same defense gave Draymond Green 32 points. He scored 32.
32, 15, and 9 to be exact.
There you go. So that shows mentally, Steph, Klay, they were shook. They were a little messed up. So I think LeBron was right on the money with that quote. Hmm. Here's the thing. When you watch that whole episode of More Than an Athlete, sometimes LeBron with the tweets, the Instagrams, and, you know, he always seems like he wants better teammates. I need more help. I need more help. It can come off like he doesn't have enough confidence in himself as the best player in the world, like he should. But what I saw from that video, not just that quote, but watching that video, and you hear a lot of things around the league about LeBron's leadership, positive and negative. I saw a great leader. Hmm. I saw the ultra confidence. When they were down 3-1, after they were down 3-1 after game four, and LeBron was in the locker room, mm-hmm. and they showed it in that video. And I get it. This is his company editing it and showing what they want. But the footage is still real. Yeah. He was in the locker room saying, let's just get one. All we need is one. Don't worry about three. Just get one. Don't worry about three. Like, that was he. I thought at that time, covering that series, that the Cavs and LeBron were done at that point. Huh. I thought they were shook. I thought he was shook. I thought there's no way they're coming back, and they know it. But he was in that locker room saying, just one. Don't worry about three, just one, to himself and his teammates. That showed me a great leader. I thought the way he handled the post-game interviews, it showed leadership. And that quote, I think it was right on the money. He said just what they needed to hear and just what was on point. Mm.
Go ahead, Skip. I don't even want to go. I don't want to go right now. I don't want to go.
So exactly which side of LeBron's mouth is he speaking out of now? Because a couple of days ago, we heard that he was taking credit for pulling off this upset, which made him the GOAT, as I call him, the faux GOAT. But that's his case that he was making. That made him the greatest ever because he pulled off this upset. But now we see that he knew he had them on the ropes after six games.
Yeah.
Because they were cooked mentally and physically. And need I detail again what that team had been through? It gutted it out all the way home to win 73 games. And they all admitted later, Steve Kerr admitted, it was a mistake. You took way too much mental and physical energy to do that. Then you fell behind 3-1 to Oklahoma City. And Oklahoma City was still a troubled basketball team between, obviously, Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook. And they finally came apart in the crucial game, which was game six,
right,
in their place. And they shot poorly. They combined to shoot 1-for-13 from three. And Klay Thompson went off in that game and made 11 threes and scored 41 points and saved their bacon. And they got back home, and then they had to grind out a defensively oriented sort of a football game against Oklahoma City. They won 96-88 in game seven. So they're on the ropes when they get to the NBA Finals. And to your point, LeBron looked lifeless to me in game four because they got outscored in the fourth quarter in his house 29-20. Yeah. But a pivotal episode took place with 2 minutes and a half to go in that basketball game. And that was Draymond got into it with LeBron. He vocally, loudly calls him the B word. They go up the court. They get tangled up.
Called and then him boss.
Boss? Yeah, I don't think it was a boss. Yep. The next letter was I. It was an O. Yeah. So, and then they get tangled up, and Draymond kicks him in the midsection. This is just craziness because this is your guts and glue guy. And then Kiki Vandeweghe, and obviously the commissioner, stepped in and did something that I did not believe they would do. They suspended a key player for the fifth game of the series back in Oakland, obviously.
You think it was warranted?
I've never seen a commissioner in any sport do that.
Remember San Antonio? They suspended Amari Stoudemire for coming out the bench with Robert Ory.
I'm talking about the finals. That was the conference finals.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. But again, this is the NBA. This is going to decide the championship of the world.
Yep.
And you take away Draymond for game five. And to me, they were discombobulated. They were on fumes already. And then once game five happened back in Oakland and LeBron happened and Kyrie happened, because Kyrie in 5, 6, and 7, he averaged 30 a game and he made 9 of 17 threes. That's 53% he shot from the three-point line. And he made all 13 of his free throws over the last three games. So LeBron did have help. LeBron was great.
No,
Kyrie was great.
Yeah.
But they got help from Tristan in game six. He had 15 points and 16 rebounds. And Kevin Love had 14 rebounds in game seven. So don't tell me. The point was the better team won. That's why I can't call that the greatest upset ever. Because, hey, from look at what Steph has done in the postseason. Did he not come up small once again down the stretch of that? The last three games, Steph Curry had, what was it, 7 assists and 12 turnovers. 7 to 12 in the last three games. He had 7 assists. And then you already pointed out his numbers in the last game. He disappeared. Draymond finally came up bigger in Game 7, but he wasn't good in Game 6 and I'm sorry, 5 and 6.
He wasn't there for 5.
Yeah, and he wasn't there for 5. And then Klay was hit and miss, and he was mostly missed in Game 7. So to me, yeah, I'll take LeBron James, the best player on the planet, and Kyrie, and Kevin Love, and Tristan. That's a better team than those guys were at that point.
I will say that, and I've said it on here before, if we were at the park, and you put Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green on one side, and LeBron, Kyrie, and Kevin Love on the other.
Uncle Drew.
I'm taking the Cavs side. Like, that's more. Now, Golden State had a better offense. They had better chemistry. You know,
bench, too.
Yeah, exactly. That's definitely a better bench. But I'm with you. I mean, I think, look, it was obviously a tremendous achievement for LeBron to win that. But, yeah, they didn't have Kevin Durant.
Right.
Like, you do it now. We look at the Warriors differently now. Yeah.
Now you got it.
Okay, well, help me understand this. I just want to make sure I'm hearing this correctly. Now, when LeBron led the Cavs back from 3-1, the Warriors were fragile. Were they fragile when they came back from 3-1 against OKC?
I think they were.
No, OKC was fragile.
OKC was fragile.
Okay.
And No, they were. They were.
He wanted out. What was about to happen?
So he wanted
he was
out.
About to go to Golden State.
Did he want out when he got the 3-1 lead or after he lost the 3-1 lead? When did he want out?
He wanted
because
out.
Because he was playing unbelievable.
He wanted out about 3 years before that.
To your point, though, what you're saying, look, as great as Kevin Durant is, we got to admit, he has not proven that he will lead a team to a championship. He was a finals MVP. But that's a stacked team, and it's Steph's team. To your point, that was his team.
Yes.
That was – I don't know
so,
Russ
so
was
you
great.
Say he needs to go somewhere and take the Knicks to the –
Well, I'm just – no, I'm just saying what – I think what Shannon is saying is we compare LeBron and Durant. LeBron has proven, even though he's had help, obviously, that he can lead a team, his team, to championships. Durant has yet to prove that. And when he had his team, they faltered.
Yeah.
That's what he
– Because Russ is an MVP. Russ is on pace to have another triple-double season. So three straight. That's what KD had.
Who was the primary decision-maker on that team, those Thunder? Who was
Russ.
It?
Well, Russ because he had the ball in
his dribbled it up every time, and he got to decide, I'm going to go solo here, or I'll give you a chance.
But Durant wasn't good in those. Russ wasn't either.
Game six and seven,
they both struggled. They both faltered.
They did.
You think LeBron keeps talking about 2016?
No, we ain't gonna talk about
something.
LeBron talking about everything. He's talking about whatever he wants.
He's got too much time while he's recovering. Chris, thank you for being here.
No mercy.
Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Join us again at 9:30 a.m. Eastern on Monday for another week of Undisputed. We'll see you then.
Facts, sports, one of one.